How y'all doing? Sure has been warm, ain't it? Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to open your word. Lord, I thank you for giving us the full canon of Scripture, Lord, and I just ask you to help me to say what you'd have me to say. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, I'm going to preach about something I don't hear a whole lot about anymore. But you know what? Ecclesiastes chapter 10. You know, I was raised in a country that worshiped money. And I kind of grew up doing that myself. And then whenever the Twin Towers got hit, you know, it was it's amazing the changes I saw in this country for a few months or a few years maybe. Bible says in verse 19, it says, a feast is made for laughter, and wine makes merry, but money answers all things. You know, James says, whenever you pray for somebody and tell them to be warmed and filled, and you don't give them those things that are needful, what good have you done? It's lip service is what it is. And it's funny how Jesus came to those people, and they was tithing just the littlest things, like if they had a little piece of pepper, they'd tithe on it, give their 10% to God. But they weren't any closer to God than they weren't close to God at all. They were doing it for their work, and they thought they were going to get something out of it. They weren't doing it for God. And what we want to do is we want to be close to God, and we want to put God first. You know, I want to read here in Malachi. You know, this money thing, it's weird how I was raised. Dad was a wise man. He told me, he said, son, you get what you want out of this world. But the thing is, he told me one thing I don't think was right. He said, son, there's not one place in the New Testament that tells you to tithe. Not one place in the New Testament does it say anything about tithing. Tithe, by the way, means 10%. That's all it means. If you read this here in Malachi chapter 3, and this is the Old Testament, but God's talking about where those people were in their spiritual walk. He said, even from the days of your fathers, this is verse 7, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. He said, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But he said, but that you said, wherein shall we return? He said, will a man rob God? He said, yep, you've robbed me. But you say, where have we robbed thee? And he says, in tithes and offerings. Plain and simple. Here's your answer. He says, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me therewith, said the Lord of hosts, and if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you shall not have room enough to receive. Now that's a promise from God. It's not a promise from me. I'm telling you, I ain't making you no promises of wealth here. I mean, I know a billionaire. He's the only guy I know that talks about tithing. And that ain't no joke. He's talked about it to me. The people that work for him talk to me about it. Nobody talks about it anymore. It's not a popular subject. But I'm just saying, whenever you do something for somebody, it brings you closer to them. Jesus said, lay up your treasures in heaven. So where your treasures will be, that's where your heart will be. Well, bottom line is, when you do something for God, you're going to want to run and tell Him. That's the way it works. Whenever you do something for somebody else, it's going to bring you closer to Him. And if we don't get this thing right, it messes up everything in our life. I mean, what bottom line is about is putting God first. I mean, if God ain't first, He's last. And, you know, they tithe on the first day of the week, and they tithe with their first fruits. It's a first thing. God wants to be first. I want to read y'all this story that Jesus told. It's always kind of blew my mind how he uses a crook to make this point. And then the longer I think on it, the reason he does that is because we're all crooks. We're all using God's stuff and we're not putting him first in it. Anytime that we use anything on this planet, we're using God's stuff. I mean, it's like the guy said he bought his son some French fries and he took one of them and his son said, "Them are mine." You know, that's the shape we're in. I mean, whatever. I mean, whatever God wants to take back, he can take back. And whatever he wants to give us more, he can give us more, but they're his. It's all his. Jesus, in chapter 16 of Luke, he said there was a certain rich man which had a steward. Now, the rich man is God, which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him, and he said unto him, "How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, that thou may be no longer steward." Now, he said, "You're going to get fired, but you're going to give an account of what you've done." That's the bottom line. And to me, that's a picture of us dying. When this thing's over, we're no longer a steward of God's stuff. He said, "Then the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do? For my Lord takes away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed.' He said, 'I know what I'm going to do. When I'm put out of the stewardship, that they may receive me into their houses.' So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and he said unto the first, 'How much owest thou unto my Lord?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. He cut him a deal half price. Then he said to another, 'How much do you owe?' And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said, 'Write down 80. And the end of it, the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?' He said, 'If you ain't been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?' And then he says, 'No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You either serve one or the other.'" And the way I see it, when you look at this, Jesus is saying, right now we're a steward of God's stuff. And money is the main top thing on God's stuff. I mean, money's what buys everything. Money's what you can use to help somebody more than anything else. He said, if you're not faithful to God with your stewardship, with His money, this is all His money. Bible talks in the Proverbs about how when you give to the poor, that you loan to God. So that basically means God's going to pay you back. And whenever He pays you back, it's going to be yours for good. When we get to heaven, we're going to be joint heirs with Jesus. But right now, we're in a position of being God's stewards. And all this stuff is His. Now this unjust guy here, this unjust steward, he took the rich man's stuff and he spent it in such a way that it benefited him in the future. He was a wise guy. He knew he was going to get fired, and he planned for it, and he set up for it. And the thing is, all of us know we're going to die. I mean, it ain't no question about it. We don't know what else is going to happen. That's the only thing we know for sure. We're going to die. Now, we should be taking God's stuff and using it to further His kingdom and our life in heaven. And it's something that I don't know how we got so far off, because my dad knew the Bible pretty good, but he did not believe in tithing at all. I 100% believe that it's critical. I think if we want to have good health, then we should eat the way the Bible teaches us to eat. And the Bible says that exercise profits. It says it profits little, but exercise definitely profits. It's a big deal. You know, this is a temple of God. And if we want to have finances, then what we need to do is, we need to do them the way God would have us to do them. We need to take this book, and we need to find out how God would have us to spend our money. And you know what? Jesus said, you give, and they'll give to you, pressed down, pouring over the, running over the sides. Bottom line is, whatever you give to God, you're learning to be like God. You are being like God. The Bible says that God so loved that He gave. God is the biggest giver there is. When Jesus was here, He gave us all of His time. He gave us His life. And He said, no greater love has a man than he lay down his life for his friends. Now to me, if you really love somebody, when they ask you a question, you don't give them a short answer. You listen to them. That's critical. God wants to be listened to, but He wants us to listen to each other. How much time you spend with somebody shows how much you love them. Now Jesus said, you can tell that you're my disciples by how much love you have for each other. Now, one of the biggest things that you can tell, if you want to, I would be embarrassed to do this, but if you want to go through my books and see where my money goes, you'll know what I love the most. And if you want to document my time, then you'll know what I love the most. Bottom line is, this right here is something we're going to give an account for. Jesus said this world is like a certain king that came and he gave this stuff to these people and he went on a long journey and he came back and he asked them for an account of it. He said there's going to be an accounting. He said, what'd you do with what I gave you? And the one guy, you know, he profited, so he put him over this. And the other guy, the last guy said, I feared you. He didn't trust God. He didn't think that God was righteous. So he hid what God gave him. He didn't use it to benefit nothing. He got cast into hell. The bottom line is, this whole money thing, when you get to reading a book, give is written in this book more than you can imagine. I think it's like 2,500 times that the word give is in here. We're here to give to each other. Whenever you have something, it's useless unless you share it. I spend a lot of time working on these places that are wealthy. People got nice stuff and it's all fancy. And every now and then I'll get in a situation where, you know, they're trying to keep everybody out because it's their special place. And, you know, whenever you shut the world out and you don't share what you have with them, then all the glory's gone. All the fun is gone. You know, it's better to have some little muddy tracks in something and enjoy it than it is to have something perfect and not have nobody to share it with. You know what? When I see somebody that's got a no trespassing sign, I always wonder, has he forgot who that belongs to? Because he's kind of like pushing people out instead of drawing people in. I love it when I come up to a door and it says welcome on there somewhere, because I don't want to feel like they don't want me there. But I feel like we live in a society where that it's about gathering up and getting more stuff. And I got more trucks and more tractors and more stuff than I need. More of everything than I could ever imagine. And that's the way most of the people are in this country. And there are people that don't have that. There are people that don't have enough to eat. You know, Ezekiel, somewhere, I think it's 16th chapter, it talks about how Sodom and Gomorrah, they didn't care about anybody but themselves. They was full of food, and they didn't give them to nobody. They was all about themselves. And when you read in this book, you'll see a generation that are lovers of themselves more than God. How many times have we got stuff for ourselves when we could have given it to God? How many times do we get all caught up in ourselves? And the thing is, you know, in Malachi where I read that, where he says, you return unto me, I'll return unto you. I'm going to tell you, God is our peace. God is our everything. And whenever we return to Him, He returns to us. The Bible says, draw near to God, I'll draw near to you. And I'll tell you, I feel like that when we're sitting here, stewards of God's money, and we ain't given at least the 10% that's required. And I can't point you in the New Testament and say it's required. But I can tell you right now that all the way through this book in the Old Testament, when God had the law, that was expected. That was just part of the deal. That was just the beginning of what God wants us to give to Him. Now, God don't... He don't want our money. He don't need our money. He wants us to learn to be like Him. That's what it's all about. He wants us to experience the joy of giving to each other. He wants us to be proud of what we did with our money when it's over. See, Jesus said you're going to have to give an account for every word you speak. We're going to give an account for every dollar that we spend. You know, whenever you get your pocketbook out and you look at it, and you see where your money's going, well, that tells you a whole lot. That tells you a whole lot of stuff you really don't want to know. I think we all ought to go home and get our checkbooks out, get our credit cards out, and look at what we're spending our money on and make sure God's getting His part. I'm going to tell you right now, if people tithed, churches would be rich. There would be no debt on the new building. There'd be no problem with none of that. I don't know who in here does and who in here don't. But I know that if there's anything wrong with this culture that we live in, it's that we put money ahead of God. And our money is an opportunity to show how we feel about God. And it's an opportunity to show how we feel about each other. And I don't know why I get so nervous and uptight when I'm up here, because I'm not trying to give anybody a hard time. It's something that I run around chasing money so I can pay for these things that I don't need, so I can get more things that I don't need, so that I can pay for them and pay for the insurance on them and pay for all these things. And I know that half of y'all are doing the same thing. And I heard a sermon about tithing, and I just thought, you know, we just don't talk about that. Jesus talked about it all the time. He said, give. He said, give, pay your alms. He said, give, give, give. He said, He made a big deal out of it. And there was a man in the Bible that was, he was like a picture of spirituality. You know, John the Baptist was a man filled with the Spirit of God from the womb, the Bible says. Now, he came in a time of a bunch of people just like us that thought money was, that's what it was all about. They was abusing the system something awful. They was throwing their mamas and daddies out. And they was money hungry. And you know, John the Baptist, he just wore a leather girdle and a camel hair outfit, I guess is what it was. And he ate grasshoppers and honey, wild honey. You know, that's pretty, must have been pretty wild to those church people whenever he's out there baptizing all these people and everybody's coming to him and the Spirit of God is working. And this guy probably ain't even got no shoes on. But you know, what it boils down to is God was showing us what was important with him. And he was showing us who he wants to work with. He wants to work with people that are generous. He wants to work with people that put other people ahead of themselves. He wants us to learn what he's like. We can't do it by hanging on to everything and holding it up to ourselves. We got to share it. We got to give it out there. We got to learn to loosen up and enjoy what we got. We can't do it by holding on to it. And whenever it's all said and done, what we get is what we lose. And what we give away is what we keep. We got to keep reminding ourselves that. You know, the best way to do that is read this book. Best way to do that is take God at His word and do exactly what He says and watch Him work. Because I'm telling you, He's not going to come up short. He's not going to disappoint. I've given away some stuff that I felt that God led me to give away. And I can't tell you the party that went on in here afterwards. But I'm telling you, God, money is the smallest thing that He gives away. It's the smallest thing. Because whenever you got it all, as far as this world is concerned, Jesus said, what would a man give if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? You know, bottom line is, God wants us to have what's important. He wants us to learn what's important. And He don't want us to put our trust in uncertain riches. That's what it boils down to. And I tell you, we're all bit with the same bug, or I am. It's awful easy to get desperate when you run out of money. It's awful easy to feel like, you know what, it's going to be all right when there's money there. But that ain't the way God wants us to feel. He wants us to feel like that money is an opportunity to serve Him. That's what He wants us to feel like. And that's what it is. And He's going to use what we give Him as a catalyst to give us something that's way better. He said, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will give you the true riches? This is our opportunity to show that we can be faithful. The Bible says that we... I forget, Uncle Paul says it all the time. What is that? Man should be counted. It's required of a man that he be faithful. I forget exactly what it is. But anyways, bottom line is, this is our opportunity to be faithful. And our money is one of the biggest ways that we can do it. I know it's been awful quiet in here tonight, but I think it's something that really, really needs our attention. Because it runs through your fingers like water. And there's so much that God puts in our way that we can use it for. If we pay attention, we can learn a lot about God and we can do a lot of good. And I'm sure that He's going to do His part. He just wants us to learn what it's like to do the way God does it. I just can't tell you what it's like to give what God would have you to give until you do it. And the only thing that I see wrong with my life is I don't do it enough. Because I have done it. I have give when it hurt. And I tell you, it's paid off way more than hanging on. There ain't nothing like that empty feeling whenever you hold on to something that you should have give out. And I've done that too. I just think we need to look a little bit closer at what Jesus has got to say about money and take it serious, because it ain't going to be very long at all and we're going to be giving an account. And I don't think there's anybody in the history of the world that's ever wasted as much money as Americans on junk. And I'm not saying I'm any different from any of you. I got lots of junk. But anyway, I appreciate y'all coming tonight.